The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Sea power in the 21st century. I welcome Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator from Missouri, chaired the Sea Power Subcommittee in the Senate, now chairman of the National Leadership Council at the Reagan Institute, and Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy aviator, retired senior fellow at the Sagamore Institute, gentleman writing at the National Review Online on sea power in the 21st century. We begin with remarks by PolitiFact, suggesting that the Navy is over-complaining about its mission compared to the number of ships it has to work on the endeavor of the challenges around the globe. In the National Review article, Senator Talent and Jerry Hendricks identify the four missions of the U.S. Navy. Right now, we'll establish that the Navy is 290 ships, way short of the ambition mentioned in Congress these last years. I believe the number 350 has been used, maybe even higher. So we're not now where we need to be. And according to the reporting in the National Review Online, we have no expectation of reaching that until mid-century. So this is a forward-looking conversation, not about now only, but also about the next generation at sea. Gentlemen, good evening to you. I begin with you, Senator, because you have memory of the Sea Power Subcommittee at the Senate, where you were then, where you were now. Can we say that progress has been made, or is there backsliding? Good evening to you, Senator.
Good evening to you, John. I wish I could report real progress on this issue, but I just don't feel that I can. I do believe people are more concerned now than they were a few years ago about the relative strength of America's armed forces, particularly vis-a-vis China. But I can't say that there is any plan been put in place or about to be put in place to really, with energy and purpose, do something about it. And that's particularly with regard to the Navy. I mean, the Navy has is mooting around different figures that it wants the Navy to grow to over different periods of time. And in my opinion, if you don't have a concrete figure, a concrete timetable, and a concrete plan, it really means that you haven't resolved to do anything. And so, no, I can't tell you that I think a lot of progress has been made.
290 ships, Jerry, that's the number I'm going to use. So you explain in the article a ratio that is necessary to understand what the Navy can do and can't do. Before we come to the missions, what does it mean 3.5 to 1? How to interpret that, Jerry? Good evening.
Well, John. Good evening, John. And so over the last almost 50 years, since we first established the regional combatant commanders, whether that's the European theater commander or the Pacific commander, who has now become the Indo-Pacific commander, Southcom, Norcom, all of these regional combatant commanders have put in their requests for ships to the Pentagon. And these requests add up to quite a large number. It's almost 130 to 150 ships at sea on any given day. They've identified 18 maritime regions of the world. Some of these regions are relatively close to the United States. Some of them are quite distant from the United States, from the main ports. And so in order to keep naval ships flowing to all of these locations, it takes between 3 to 4 ships for every ship that's forward deployed, because generally there's one ship that's in the yard under deep level maintenance. One ship is working up, going through its maintenance, its training, its crew selection, et cetera. Generally, there's a ship sort of in transit to the region, and then there's a ship coming home. And then, of course, there's the ship that's on station. So what you require in order to maintain 130 to 150 ships forward is 3.5 ships for everyone that's required forward. That's what actually drives or should drive the size of the battle force in the Navy. But quite frankly, we have gotten a long, long way from there, where if you think about 130 to 150 ships, well, you're talking really about between 450 to over 500 ships to maintain that type of presence. And we're at 291 ships as of this morning.
Senator, I come to you because there are four missions for the U.S. Navy identified in your article, the National Review Online. The first, you write, seems to my reading the most important. It involves the nuclear ballistic missile submarines, the SSBNs. What is their mission? Why are they primary, Senator?
Well, our nuclear submarines are the third leg of the nuclear triad. In other words, we have three different ways of delivering nuclear weapons in order to deter nuclear attack against the United States: our bombers, our land-based missiles, ICBMs, and the submarines. And the submarines, I think if you ask most people about this, they would say they're the best of the three deterrent, because since the submarines move and are very, very difficult to track, an enemy cannot be certain at all that they can get the submarines before we respond. So they're an absolutely vital part of the defense of deterrence of nuclear war. And therefore, I think you're correct to say probably the single most important mission of the Navy.
We're in a transition now, if I understand correctly, between the Ohio-class SSBNs, the Boomers, and the Columbia class. Is that adequately funded? Is that moving along, in your opinion, Senator?
Yeah, I think that part of our naval power, I think Washington has been aware of. The Navy has made those ships a priority. If that were the only issue, John, Jerry and I wouldn't have written this article, and I don't think we'd be concerned. The problem is the ability of the Navy to perform its conventional missions, given that the Navy is so much smaller than it used to be. John, your watchers and listeners may be interested. In the 1990s, when I went to Washington, the outgoing H.W. Bush administration projected that we would need somewhere around 430 ships going forward. The Clinton administration lowered that to 346 ships. Well, even 346 ships are more than 50 ships above what we now have. And remember, the 1990s were a time of relative peace in the world. China was weak. Russia was friendly. There was no global terrorist threat. North Korea didn't have nuclear weapons. And yet we are substantially below the lowest estimate of what we thought we needed then.
Jerry, I come to you for the second mission, the Great White Fleet. What does that mean?
Well, that's the show the flag aspect of naval operations. It's naval presence. It's a topic you and I have talked about several times in the past. But it's in the importance of keeping this fleet out there to establish U.S. national interest and then uphold them, to demonstrate that we are interested in these regions of the world that we have, whether it's economic or whether it's a diplomatic interest or for that matter, military interest, given the fact that we have 50 allies, treaty allies in the world. These ships have to go forward in order to demonstrate that we have an interest and that we are willing to back up those interests with hard power. And so, again, this comes back to this idea of how many ships do we have at sea at any given time? The ballistic missile submarines that we just talked about, well, we only keep about four of those at sea at any given moment, and that gives us sufficient assured second strike capability. The rest of the 130 to 150 ships, that is generally your aircraft carriers, your cruisers, your destroyers, and even your fast attack submarines, as well as the amphibs. Those are out there to demonstrate specific capabilities in specific interest areas. And we are unable to do that and have been unable to do that for almost two decades now.
You mentioned icebreakers. Hey, John. Oh, go ahead, Senator.
Very briefly, John, it's where the expression show the flag comes from, which everybody's familiar with. It's a naval expression. We show the Navy's, and this is a task that's really very peculiar, specific to the Navy. The Navy shows America's commitment, presence, and interest in various parts of the world, and it can only do that if ships are there. We can't make ports of call with ships we don't have. And right now, we're struggling to keep about 90 ships deployed every day. Now, think about how big the oceans are. So it's a real problem, and we are gapping presence all over the world. We are not in places where we know we need to be.
Yes, you included a very clever quote by George Kennan, the esteemed diplomat. Quote, "You have no idea how much it contributes to the politeness and pleasance of diplomacy when you have a little armed force in the background." I'm reminded, Jerry, of Bring Me Petacharis alive or bring me Rizzulli dead. That would have been Teddy Roosevelt's most famous line that he maybe didn't say. What does that mean, Jerry?
Well, at the time, that was the Perdicaris affair, where an alleged American citizen, and I say alleged because subsequently we found out historically that Ian Perdicaris was not an American citizen at that point in time, but he had been kidnapped by a brigand in the hills of Morocco, and Theodore Roosevelt ended up sending three cruiser divisions to show the flag and demonstrate American resolve in order to recover Perdicaris, you know, back from this brigand, this pirate that was up in the hills. And so it was the use of naval power in order to demonstrate America's interest, America's resolve, a red line. And in the end, Perdicaris was returned.
Yes, and it was convenient that it happened in the month of June during the nominating convention for the presidency. But in any event, I turned to Mission 3, Senator. That is trade, free trade. At one time, the United Kingdom, the British Empire, was in charge of free trade. They're down to 70 ships, your reporting says. Now the U.S. is burdened by that. The Red Sea would be evidence that that mission is vital, and the U.S. is the only one who can carry it out. Do our allies acknowledge that, Senator? Are they ready to help?
Yeah, in some circumstances, they certainly are. And we have had international efforts to stop piracy that have been successful in suppressing. And unfortunately, John, as you mentioned, with regard to the British, our allies have allowed their fleets to decline as well. So even collectively, we don't have the ships we used to have. Actually, the last, and Jerry would know this for certain, but when they formed the Coalition to Stop Piracy, I believe it was about 10 or 12 years ago, the Chinese played a role in it. In other words, we had to rely to some degree on their ships, because they have a substantial navy and we really don't. John, the right of citizens of the United States to move, trade, and travel in the world on the same terms as everybody else in safety is a vital national interest of the United States. In fact, we've fought wars basically over that, going to the first war, which was against the Tripoli pirates. The War of 1812 started in large part because the British were interfering with our shipping. World War One, when the Germans declared that they were going to sink neutral vessels. This is something we cannot permit. And yet, if without a sufficient navy, we're going to see not just piracy, but political attacks on ships as well.
John, I would just point out to iterate what the senator just said. Of the seven times that the Congress has declared war for the country in our history, five of the seven times have been over maritime issues. So maritime has always been at the forefront of our national interest. It has been consistently a place where the nation has deemed it important enough to actually take the ultimate sanction and declare war.
Jerry Hendricks, retired naval captain, aviator, senior fellow, Sagamore Institute. Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator from Missouri, chaired the Sea Power Subcommittee when in Congress, currently chairman of the National Leadership Council at the Reagan Institute, writing at National Review Online. When we come back, the fourth mission, war fighting. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.